And so we have been planning this service for a couple of months now, and it's very interesting, timely. Judy Coday, who's on the Love 146 Task Force, pointed out an article in the Detroit News that came out on Tuesday. We have a picture of it here. You may not have seen it because the real news that we were happy with was that the lockout ended for the NFL. And although that's important news, we often focus on sports and we don't focus on things that in the end really matter. There was on Tuesday, state files sex slave charges, man faces trial under human trafficking law as teens allegedly forced to work as prostitutes. And that happened right in our own backyard in Detroit. This stuff is not just going on in India, not just going on in Thailand, it's happening here. That article, you can find it online on Tuesday in the Detroit News. So it's just very interesting that for a few months we've been talking to Sherry and coordinating this night, and this just happened a few days ago, and she's here, and we're here to raise the issue about reabolishing slavery, which may not make sense. Wait a second, didn't that happen a few hundred years ago? And the answer is yes, but not in the way that it's going on now. And we're going to be learning tonight what is trafficking and what's happening in our region as well as around the world. So tonight's going to be a little bit different than normal. Normally, we've been preaching through the first gospel of the New Testament, story by story, looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and it's been phenomenal. I encourage you guys to come back next Sunday night. We're going to be preaching and seeing what God has to teach us every single week through his gospels. But tonight, I decided to hit the pause button on that instead of just preaching out of that, to focus a special night on why did our church get involved in human trafficking and the fight against it? Because if you think about it, it's not a common social cause, really. I mean, when we're dreaming about planning this church, we're thinking, okay, God, we want this to be an outward-focused church. We want to put our faith in action. We don't want it just to be about come on the weekends to sing and learn. We want to put our faith in action, a foundation verse for Kelly and me as we were praying about this church is Galatians 5:6. If we could sum up our church in one verse, it's this one. Paul says the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That's strong language. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So that verse is a foundation verse for our church. The question is, okay, how do we express ourselves through love is the question. So Kelly and I were praying, and we're praying every night. This is about a year ago at this time. And I'm going to share a whole bunch of our story. We're saying it's an unbelievably broken world. There's so much need in this world. Where, as a church, where do we focus? Because you can't do everything. I mean, there's people that need clean drinking water. There's orphans that need clothing and education. There's the AIDS pandemic. There's what's going on in Haiti still. Hunger in general around the world, and every one of those breaks the heart of God. Every one of those, he calls us to be his hands and feet to do something about, but the issue is, well, we can't do everything, so where do we focus our efforts? So Kelly and I, we started praying every single night, and God surprised us in a really interesting way because he brought to mind for us an evil in the world that wasn't even on our radar a couple years ago. God works that way. When you pray and you want to tune in to his voice, he'll speak. And you have an idea and a plan, and he says, do you really want to know? I got this for you. And that's really what happened to us as a church. So my prayer tonight is, as I share our story, that you hear your story and ours, and that your heart begins to break for something that breaks God's heart in trafficking, and that you're not just sad about it or moved emotionally about it, but that you're compelled to put your faith in action and express itself through love. That's my hope and my prayer. So I'm going to walk you through our journey, and I'm going to keep it short so that we can praise God more through song. But before I dive into my message, I'd love just to take a moment to still my heart and to still yours, and let's pray. Would you bow your heads and join me? God, thank you for stillness in this sanctuary right now. May we tune into your voice. I pray, God, that ultimately you are our teacher tonight, that you just speak through me. May my words be yours. And God, may you compel your church to do something about this evil in this world. We are called to love our neighbor as ourselves, and there are neighbors of ours who are enslaved right now. while we are free. May we love our neighbor as ourselves. May we be compelled to not just be hearers of the word tonight, but be doers of it. I pray, Holy Spirit, you speak through me, give me words to say, and ears to hear you as I preach. Thanks, Jesus. Amen. So I want to take you back in time, and we're going to just hit some highlights. I could have preached for a couple hours on this, but wanted to say, man, this is an interesting cause. Like, how did you get involved in trafficking, human trafficking as a church? So I want to take you back to December 2009. This is the first piece of the puzzle that was put into place, and in fact, Kelly and I did not even realize at the time the puzzle that God put in place, and it happened through a DVD. God can work through Hollywood too. It's true. Sometimes it's hard, but he did. I had just gotten released from Troy Beaumont, did a 25-day stint, a week in intensive care. It was not a highlight of our lives, to say the least. Just got released. I was incredibly weak. I was down to 198 pounds. I found out we were watching a home family video today, and I'm not that right now, but it's okay. I'm working on it. But honestly, walking to the mailbox was, I was using a walker when I was in the hospital. It was just crazy time. So we made many a night a blockbuster night because I couldn't do much else. And one of the movies we rented was Taken. Has anybody see that movie? Liam Neeson? Yeah. It is an unbelievably disturbing movie, especially if you're parents of daughters. We, at the time, had Faith and Evelyn, currently now ages 4 and 2. We have baby Elizabeth, so it's my three girls, Kelly and me. And you watch that movie, and I would say rent it. It is very, you won't be eating popcorn as you're watching it, that's all I'll say. Because what happens in the movie is Liam's daughter goes to Europe, gets kidnapped, and she's forced to be a prostitute, and that's all I'll say because I want to keep this a PG kind of sermon. And I don't know if the phrase human trafficking was mentioned in that movie, but that's what was going on. So Kelly and I watched it. It was one of those movies that didn't leave us when we hit the stop button on the DVD player. It was disturbing. It kept right in our faces. The movie's plot about these women, these girls, being forced into a life and forced to do things no one should be forced to do 10 times a day. Just shouldn't happen. So that happened in December 2009. And Kelly and I, we just thought we were watching a movie, and God's saying, I got something for you. March 2010, the next piece of the puzzle dropped into place, and I could talk a whole lot about this, but all I'll say is that that was the month that God called Kelly and I to plant a church. And we didn't really know what it was going to be at that time. We went to what was called a church planters boot camp down in Ohio, and God spoke to us. It was very clear, and that was March 2010. So to think, just over a year ago at this time, we had just had this calling, and now this is happening as unbelievably God. It's a huge God story. I could talk for half an hour on that. I'll be quiet because I want to get to the next month. That's all I'll say. April 2010. April 2010, the May issue of Christianity Today magazine arrives in my mailbox, and one of the articles was this, and I pulled this up on the internet, Sexual Slavery on Main Street. Now, look at the byline. Trafficking of teenagers in the U.S. is getting worse. Here's what some Christians are trying to do about it. Now, I remember reading that article, but it didn't break my heart, honestly. I remember reading it, and I remember that phrase, human trafficking, and why is trafficking spelled with a K? I remember, like, processing that. It's like spelled, what does that mean? But then I remember the movie Taken, and some pieces, puzzle pieces are dropping together, and God was planting seeds. So that's December, March, April. I'm going to camp in the month of July for a little bit. A few months later in July, Kelly and I now feel a call to plant the church. And we're asking God to guide us. What type of church, Lord, do you want us to plant? You're the head of this thing, but how do you want to use us as your hands and feet and mouth to do this? And while Galatians 5:6 was the key verse, we had about 10 of them that we really used as foundational verses for us as a church, and we wanted to have an outward focus, serving the poor, and there's all types of poor in the world. And so one of the verses that was something that has been key to us to this day is in Matthew 25, verses 37 through 40, judgment, Jesus saying, the righteous will answer him. Now listen to these words, and if you've read the Bible before, you may have heard the story, but these words are powerful. They say, Lord Jesus, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And let's stop there. How about, when did we see you enslaved as a human trafficking person? A slave. It's not there, but it's there. Same concept. Lord, when did we see you? Imagine Jesus in a brothel being raped 10 times a day. And Jesus says this. The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Powerful scripture. And so we're saying this is one of the foundation passages for us as a church. This is in our top 10. And so we started to pray a prayer, and at first this prayer will not make any sense to you, but I'll explain it. God, give us our jaya, give us our cause. See, Kensington Church, where I used to be on staff, had a guy named Jaya. He's in India, he's a pastor, and God connected them. Kensington is a very big church. They do things all over the world, but a lot of their efforts are in India and Kenya. And there's a couple pastors that they focus their efforts on. And they provide orphans food, and they build hospitals, and training church planters, and giving clean water. But these things didn't happen by accident. God, bring us our jaya. Bring us that pastor. Bring us that country. Bring us that person that we're going to connect with. And so Kelly and I start praying, and it's an every single day thing. We're saying, God, there's a lot of cause in the world. Show us, and we thought at the time, this is the way we were processing, bring us that pastor that I'm going to cross paths with somehow. And he's going to be a pastor of a certain country, somewhere in the world, and that's where, and God, just make that happen. And that was our prayer. Well, God was going to answer our prayer, but not in the way that we were praying. And that's oftentimes the way God works, if you have ears to hear. We're saying, God, bring us our jaya. Bring us our pastor. Bring us our pastor in a certain country. And that will define the cause. That was kind of how we were praying. So mid-August of 2010, Karen Smith from Kensington goes to the summit. And how do you lead better? And it's just this amazing thing every August that Bill Hybels and his crew do. And she gives me a stack of CDs. And it's just one of those things. Again, you think it's coincidental, but God is working behind the scenes. So she gives me this CD, and I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be how do you lead better? So I'm in my office at Kensington. I pop it into my CD player, put on my headphones, grab my potato chips, and I'm thinking, okay, now I'm going to take some notes about how to lead well, because this is what the summit's all about. So the CD that I popped in is a woman by name Christine Kane from Hillsong Church in Australia, and she starts off saying this. And again, I'm blind. I'm just like, okay, I have no idea who she is. She has a cool accent. I like Australian accents, so it's going to be enjoyable, and it's all good. And she says, now, you probably think that I'm going to be here to talk about singing and music, because that's what Hillsongs is known for around the world. But she says, I'm not actually going to do that. I'm going to talk about human trafficking. And it was like, I didn't hit the pause button on the CD player, but my mind hit the pause button, and some dots start to connect to the article that I read, to the movie that we watched, to the prayers that Kelly and I were praying of God, bring us our jaya, bring us our country. So she starts to share this story, and I'll just give you a brief version of it. She talks about how her church is part of a group in Greece that has a safe house. There's 14 girls in it, and she decided to travel there to just tell them how much Jesus loves them, which is a good thing to do. And so she goes there, and she asks one of the girls, hey, tell me your story. How did you end up in a safe house in Greece? And she begins to tell her story, and she didn't say the beginning of it, but the bottom line was somehow she got lured into the trafficking world, the sex world, and was sold a bill of goods and ended up in one of those freighter big containers that you see that like ship things all over the world, right? And she's inside one of those with 60 other girls who are being trafficked across the continent to Greece. And so she was saying that, okay, there's 60 girls. It's an airtight container on a freighter. No one knows they're inside except the people that got paid off to get them in there, obviously. And because it's airtight, her captors were nice enough to put an oxygen tank inside of it. But because they don't really treat them as human beings, they didn't really check to see how well the oxygen tank works. So it didn't work all that well. So by the time they got to Turkey, 30 of them died. So she was one of the quote-unquote fortunate ones to not die. So now, well, their journey is in Turkey. It goes to Greece. So now they're put in these like little rafts, you know, going across, and I don't even know what sea it is, over to Athens, Greece. But the Coast Guard picks up on them at some point, so the captors start pushing the girls overboard because they're excess baggage to them. They don't want to be caught because they'll be prosecuted unless they can pay off the Coast Guard, which is a possibility. So some of these girls can't swim, so they drown. So about 10 of them are, again, the fortunate ones to survive. Fortunate enough to end up in a brothel in Greece, where their bodies are sold about 10 times a day. So she's sharing this story about, I don't know what happened. I know I was crying. I stopped eating my lunch right at the beginning of the sermon that she was preaching. And it was one of those moments where I knew God was speaking to me. This wasn't just one of those things where I would cry, be emotionally moved for a minute, and then click on ESPN.com and see what's going on in the world. I come home and I tell Kelly, God's up to something. You got to hear this CD, Christine Kane, Human Trafficking. We started to realize our prayers were being answered, and it became very clear at the end of August 2010, 2 weeks later, about, we're at the Axiom retreat with Kensington. I'm preaching, and I meet a girl there, just happened to meet her. There's like 80 people there, and we just bump into each other, start talking. Hey, what are you doing this summer? Oh, I'm going over to East Germany to do an internship for anti-human trafficking. It's like, okay, Lord, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I'm hearing you. Person after person after person. There's a whole bunch more stories there, but we knew that God was answering our prayer, just not in the way that we had thought. See, we were looking for a pastor. We were looking for a country, and God brought us a cause instead that is in all countries, including ours. There's no borders for this cause. It doesn't matter what color your skin is, how much money your family has in the bank. This cause is affecting people all over the world. So God brought us our Jaya, so to speak, just not in the form of a person, but in the form of a cause. So in August 2010, we knew God was leading us on this issue. We need to, as a church, again, the church had not even had our first preview yet, but we knew this was the issue that was going to define us as a church. And there are half a dozen more things that happened since then, but for sake of time, I will pull a Seinfeld and say, yada, 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 it's April 2010. You good? April 2011. So God calls us in August 2010 to fight trafficking, and now we're going to fast forward. I get an email from Jess, and she said, hey, there's something with this human trafficking thing I'm very passionate about. Would you mind if I contacted some organizations? And I said, hey, go for it. So she contacts several. Love 146 was one of them that got back with her right away. I still have the emails. I was reading them this week. And it was really sweet because they're saying, hey, as a church, she's like, hey, we don't even know what to do. This is on our hearts. It's on my heart. It's on my pastor's heart. What do we do? And they said, well, you should form a task force, which is really a small group that wants to learn more about the issue. So we had hoped, we're like, okay, well, why don't we launch it over the summer? And our goal was 5 people, because we're like, well, in a church our size, 5 people over the summer, small groups, a lot of people take time off for small groups, especially who's going to want to do a small group in the summer about human trafficking? It's not like, hey, we're going to learn how to evangelize during sand volleyball. We're not doing that. This is an intense small group. So we just put the ask out there, and we actually had to close the small group because their house wasn't large enough to host it. There was, I think, about 25 or so people that signed up, and that's absolutely insane for a church that is our size, that so many people. So our first task force meeting, we're like, okay, tell me your story. And person after person after person comes to our church, doesn't even know that this is an area of passion for us. And then we start to announce it and promote it from the stage, and they realize, man, I'm not just here to praise Jesus on every evening, once a week, and sing songs and learn a little bit about Jesus through the Gospels. I'm here to do something, put my faith in action. So I'm just so unbelievably excited. By the way, who's on our task force? Hands up. You just look around there. We got 20-some people. It's unbelievable. And here's just a few brief stats that we're learning so that you can learn too. Across the globe, 2 children are sold every minute. Think about how long we've been here and do the math. sold, not like for, I'm going to use your body to do something with, sold. There are 27 million slaves today, trafficked around the world, 27 million. In the United States, 100,000 U.S. children are forcefully engaged in prostitution or pornography each year. Just some stats. But as they say, a picture's worth a thousand words. So we're going to show a video, just briefly, that shows the history of Love 146. Interesting name. Some of you may be wondering, how did they get their name? So we're going to hear their founder, and he's going to talk about Love 146. So let's take a look, and then I'll wrap up. Put your daughter, if you know, if you have one, or if you have a niece, in that place. Put a tag on her. Because these people aren't just nameless faces, are they? They're someone's daughter, someone's granddaughter, someone's niece. And Jesus calls us to do something about it. There's a lot of things, a lot of needs, a lot of causes in this world. This is one of them. And so we want to meet tonight just to introduce you to the topic, what is human trafficking, and hope that you'd be compelled to do something about it, besides cry. So I want to give you some very distinct action steps. If you have your program on the back of it, and these are things to look through, pray about, ask Jesus what you are called to do. Let me just briefly go through them. The first is to allow yourself to be uncomfortable. This is an uncomfortable topic. Everything in our human being, you know, we just, man, let's focus on, man, now that you know, the Lions, like, who are they going to trade for? Let's focus on that. No. yeah, you know, watch TV and do that, but allow yourself to be uncomfortable. There's some movies, the human trafficking movie starring Mira Sorvino. Kelly and I watched this and, like, turned it off halfway through because it's so disturbing. But watch it. Or read a book. There's a book called The Slave Across the Street. I just read it this week. It's about a girl in Birmingham, our Birmingham, who was a slave. Phenomenal book. And I hate to use that word phenomenal, but it is. It's her story. And she was a slave, went to Groves High School. Allow yourself to be uncomfortable. Don't tune this one out. Search the scriptures. There are 2,000 verses that talk about God's heart for the poor. Search the scriptures. There's a Bible that you may want to purchase that highlights them. Pray, and this is huge. Pray that God moves in the lives of the people who oversee this and orchestrate it. Pray that God moves in the hearts of the so-called Johns so that the demand side of this just dries up. Pray that Christ moves. Don't say, oh, well, all's I can do is pray. Never say all's I can do is pray. Pray. Educate yourself. There's a whole bunch of sites on the web. Love146.org, notforsalecampaign.org, ijm.org, and there's other books as well. Get political, and this is important. The reason why that guy that I started with in the news is going to be going to jail is that in April 2010, there was a law passed in our state that made trafficking and as a crime much more elevated. So you write your congressman, you get to face, you pound down their doors and you talk, get this in front. What are we doing in our community? Who cares about the debt ceiling? There are kids being sold right now. What are we doing about it? Get political. Open your eyes. There's a phone number, 888-3737-888. That is the U.S. Human Trafficking Hotline. I didn't even know there was one until a few months ago. But if you see something that is a little bit shady, don't become Rambo and break down doors. You call the authorities. You call this number. Put this in your cell phone and call. If you see anything, and it could be in your workplace, call. Volunteer. Today's underprivileged kids are tomorrow's trafficking, right? They will be trafficked. If they're underprivileged, they're at risk. So here's some organizations, Grace Center of Hope, CDC. Or just call your local school and say, hey, is there a kid that's not doing so good? I'd love to tutor them. As simple as that. Be proactive that way. Join a task force. On your connection card, there's a spot that says, I'd like to join a Love 146 task force small group. If you want to join one, check that box. At this point, as I'm saying this, I have no idea how we're going to do this, but I wanted to put it on there. I felt like God told me to. So check that box, and in a month or so, God will hopefully bring up some people to lead these groups. But check this out. Check the box. Drop it in the offering. Maybe that's your step. And then give. We're going to have an offering, as we shared, at the end of the service, where you can write a check today to Love 146 to help them in their fight. So those are just some ways. And I'm not saying do them all, but I'm saying do some. Do something. Do what the Holy Spirit leads and guides you to. As I was working on the sermon, I say, you know, usually I preach a lot from the Bible and I use a lot of verses. We don't need a lot of verses on this topic. We know what Jesus calls us to do. He calls us to express our faith through love, and he calls us to love the least of these in his name. That's all. That's all we need. The question is, what will we do as a result of what we've been given? For some of you, this is a brand new topic, and your mind is blown right now. For others of you, this has been something that you're like, oh my gosh, God brought me here, and he is going to use people in this room to do something huge in our region and across the world for trafficking. May we be open to how he leads. So would you join me in a prayer? Jesus, this is a heavy-hitting message. This is not a feel-good sermon. We're not going to walk out of here smiling. This isn't one of those times to come to church and feel good. This is a time for us to be convicted by what we need to be convicted of. God, break our hearts for the things that break yours. Compel us into action. May we allow ourselves to be uncomfortable in this and do something about that. And Jesus, right now, may we respond to you in the ways that you lead and guide us to respond. May we be open to that leading, and may we act on it. Thanks, Jesus. Amen.